1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. Today's edition of the program will preview the Bears-Lions game coming up and talk about why Matt Nagy's on the hot seat, plus a brand new interview today with Mike Harmon, the national host at Fox Sports Radio and the host of the I Want Your Flex podcast. Talk with him about some Bears football, Justin Fields and his performance, Matt Nagy, and so much more. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and sportstalkchicago.com. Before we start today, I have to tell you about State Farm agent Brian McDevitt. A lot of our listeners have gone to him for all their insurance needs, and he's been very helpful in getting them the coverage they deserve. There's no games with Brian. He's just here to help and make sure you feel safe. If you have insurance needs and you haven't called them yet, what are you waiting for? Dial up the number, 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or find them online at brianismyagent.com. That's brianismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. We've seen this before. You know, you think over time, if something doesn't work, you fix it. You get better. You innovate. You don't stagnate. If it's broken, you fix it. You don't move backwards. You don't regress. You progress. The Bears have an open wound right now. We all know that. Matt Nagy's a big problem. Justin Fields not developing is even a bigger problem. Why are they putting the Band-Aid on it then? Why not really fix the wound, put stitches in there, make sure it's 100% better? Why are they using stopgap solutions to try and make a permanent fix? Matt Nagy came out and said during his press conference that now he doesn't know who's going to be calling plays, which all indications would show that that's Bill Lazor, who's finally going to be calling plays this upcoming week. My question is, number one, why wasn't this done at the beginning? Number two, is this going to work? We've seen this already, right? This is nothing new. And look where the Bears were. I know everybody hated last year. Everybody hated Mitch. Everybody hated Nagy and Pace. When they made the switch to Bill Lazor, the Bears won games, put up 30-plus points, bad teams, whatever. Went to the playoffs. Nagy took over play calling, and look what happened. At the end of the year last year, I remember January, everybody said, fire Pace, fire Nagy. Didn't happen. Now, 2021, week four. Oh, we're going to go to Bill Lazor for play calling. So what's that mean? What's that going to do? Not saying Bill Lazor is a bad coach, but we just saw this happen. At the end of the day, the Bears were still mediocre. They were still middle of the road exactly. There was no progress. There was no indication that things would get better. It was, wow, the Bears are like in quarterback purgatory and football purgatory. They're not moving anywhere. They're exactly the same. I'd love to sit here and applaud this move. I'd love to sit here and tell you everything's going to be okay, but it isn't. It's not. It'd be different if this was the first time Nagy and Lazor switched switched up duties, but it's not. It's happened before. This was thought to be a temporary fix. That's what it was last year. Temporary fix. Come up, nag into the sub, let Laser call plays. See what happens. Who knows? What'd it do? Got the Bears to the playoffs, yes, but what'd they do in there? What happened at the end of the year? Every one of you watching me today all agreed, fire Pace, fire Nagy, regardless of what Bill Lazor did. Why are they reverting to the same idea today? This early. No change came from that move last year. And I guarantee you, no change will come from this move this time around too. I don't know why no one sees this. Now you have some people rejoicing about this move, and I get it. I really do. Look, Matt Nagy has been so ineffective this season so far. I understand why people are happy to see this happen. But my question is, what does it matter? What's really the end result going to be? Well, the Bears aren't going to go 12-2 the rest of the way and win out and win a Super Bowl. That's not going to happen. So then what's the point of doing it? This is just a Band-Aid. It's not stitches. It's a Band-Aid. We saw the same Band-Aid work last year. Now look where they are now. And they come into this weekend facing off against a pretty gritty Detroit team. Now, at the beginning of the year, I thought this would be a shoe-in. Big win for the Bears, so easy. You know, remember, Mitch Trubisky never lost to Detroit. Yep, even with Matt Nagy as his play caller. And John Fox never lost to Detroit. Now we face a situation today where it looks like whomever starts, Dalton, Fields, Foles, apparently, we'll talk about that in a second, they might lose. They actually might lose. And Detroit's 0-3, right? Record-wise, not a good team. But they have played some competitive football. 49ers and Ravens. Both losses by one possession or less. That's it. Both losses by one possession. 41-33 and 19-17. They would have actually beaten the Ravens if it wasn't for Justin Tucker breaking a record. Think about that. Jared Goff is actually playing well, which I'm shocked about. Jamal Williams, DeAndre Swift, both have 100-plus rushing yards already. This is not a joke of a team whatsoever. Meanwhile, the Bears are sitting here putting out three different fires at once. Won't be an easy game, telling you right now. It's not a shoe-in, Bears fans. Don't think it is. I have no clue who the starting quarterback's going to be. I do know David Montgomery will run well if he's given the football. I also have no clue what's going to happen to these receivers. Take a look at these numbers. I mean, seriously, this is atrocious. Darnell Mooney is the Bears' leading wide receiver with 101 yards. It's been three games, and the Bears' leading wide receiver has 101 yards. There will not be a 1,000-yard receiver on this team this year. Not one. No one cares, though. Too many other fires to put out on the home front. Who's the quarterback? What's Matt Nagy doing? And oh, yeah, right, the Bears are moving to Arlington Heights. It's only week four. It's only week four, guys. Hang in there. I don't know what to make of any of this. It's information overload. There is too much to unpack between small little nuances and really big headlines. Matt Nagy insinuating that Nick Foles could start is a joke, and I get it. I understand you want to play decoy with the team you're facing, but it's the freaking Lions. The Lions. I get it if you're facing the Rams, right? You're facing a heavyweight contender. You're facing Detroit. And you're worried about a decoy. Really think about that, Bears fans. You're worried about Detroit. Matt Nagy is so worried about Detroit that he's going to come out and say Nick Foles may start as a decoy. What have we come to? What have the Bears come to as an organization. It's only week four. What have they come to? And I can't believe it. And if Matt Nagy's being serious, he actually really wants to start Nick Foles, and it's not a decoy, and it's real, hire him now. We got the Nick Foles experiment. That didn't work. No quarterback works, and they're coached under Matt Nagy. He's not a coordinator. He's not just a nice coach. He's literally nothing. He has not done one thing to benefit this team. I see people saying, well, what about 2018? Yeah, what happened? What happened after 2018? I don't get it. Oh, yeah, that's right. People caught on. And Matt Nagy can't adjust. Didn't with Mitch, didn't with Andy, and now won't with Justin Fields. So funny how the opinions have changed. Yeah, it's a Mitch problem. It's a Mitch problem. It's not. Never was. Justin Fields had probably the worst ever debut for a rookie quarterback. Some of it was on him, but the play calling also played a role. Now tell me Justin Fields looked great. He didn't. He rushed a couple of throws, made bad throws, happy feet in the pocket. Then on top of it, had no O-line, which we talked about all winter and all summer. And now has bad play call. But nope, put him in right away. Don't even waste your time on the bench, right? That's what everybody said. It's a waste of space to have him on the bench. You got to put him in now. What are you, crazy? Right. I'm the crazy one. I don't know what I'm talking about. And apparently, Justin Fields is a great quarterback, and this team is going to be perfect. Not doubting Fields' ability. I'm doubting who's coaching. He is not going to be a good quarterback until another coach comes in, plain and simple. So you better brace for more of these bad performances. That's just the way it's going to go. Now we're seeing reports that if the Bears lose on Sunday, Matt Nagy could be fired. I don't know how true that is. I'll be honest, I don't know. Because the Bears have never fired a head coach mid-season in franchise history. I really don't think they'll lose to Detroit. I hope. And I could see a way in which they could, but I doubt it. The defense is going to come up big, especially against Jared Goff. Jared Goff, we all remember the Sunday night game with the Rams, 2018, it looked horrible. The Bears will find a way to contain him, no question. And they're going to win based off the back of their defense. But as far as who the quarterback is, if there's any progression, will there be a good play call? That's all up in the air. Matt Nagy's ridden the coattails of his defense his entire tenure at Chicago. That's made him able to have a winning record, right? Everybody who loves Matt Nagy justified his existence by saying winning record, playoffs. They didn't want to admit it was the defense that carried him. Everybody depended on him. Oh, he never had a quarterback. He won in spite of Mitch Trubisky. He won in spite of Nick Foles. In spite of Mike Glennon. Wrong. Wrong. They won in spite of him. Vince team's a dumpster fire. Want to know the worst part? Storied franchise. Great, great franchise. One of the founders of the NFL. Historic, storied, and this is what we're dealing with here. This is Cleveland Browns crap. That's what it is, plain and simple. This is Cleveland Browns crap. Houston Texans crap. Expansion team crap. Not founding member of the NFL, great team, storied franchise, crap. They're acting like an expansion team. Like they don't know the NFL, have no personnel, don't know what to do. Why? You have money, big market, great resources, and you're still in this position. I don't get it. Now we have new news about the move to Arlington Heights. The Bears have signed a purchase order and a contract to go. This might be to the disdain of many, but I support this move. I always have, and you could go back and made a big video about this a month or two ago. This is a great move for the Bears, whether you like it or not. I don't want to get on the train and go to Arlington Heights. Well, you'll get a brand new stadium, state-of-the-art, maybe a dome, who knows? You'll get a better national profile for the Bears. People coming from out of town will love the stadium more instead of Soldier Field. More capacity. Maybe, potentially, the opportunity to host a Super Bowl, too. From a business perspective, it's worth it. And the Bears, to their credit, made the right move. It's so weird praising them for something off the field, but then watching their on-the-field performance and completely going after them, but that's what we're doing now. See how they did that? Good PR on their part, to their credit. They won't be the Chicago Bears anymore. How many times do I have to say that a number of teams in the NFL and even across the country for any sport, they don't reside in the city? Inglewood, California, SoFi Stadium. Not a big deal to be in the city. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. About an hour and a half from Los Angeles, they're in Anaheim. Jets, Giants, New Jersey. Happens all the time in sports. No need to complain, no need to worry. The Bears will still be the Chicago Bears. They'll just be a state-of-the-art football team now. Again, a founding member of the NFL should not have a capacity of 62,000 people. Shouldn't be worried about the Chicago Park District either. Let them own their own place. That's the point of this whole move, and that's great. Happy to see it. It's too bad a bad team's going to be playing in that stadium. Too bad we'll have to watch mediocre football in there until something changes. I'll reiterate this again. Matt Nagy needs to go now, like right now, bye. I've seen enough. I had seen enough last year. I'd seen enough even a year ago, 2019. It's so hard for me to wrap my head around, why is he being rewarded for mediocrity like this? There's only so much his first season could do, right? 2018. Why are we compensating him and giving him the benefit of the doubt for no reason? 2018, 2021. What have you done for me lately? What'd you do for me a couple of years ago? That was great. Remember? No. He's done nothing for this team lately. And the move to give Bill Lazor the playbook, Bears fans, I hate to say it, but it won't really make much of a difference. It won't. That's not a knock on Bill Lazor, not a knock on Fields or Dalton or whomever. All I got to do is point you to last year. That's it. 8-8, first round exit. At the end of the year, everybody said fire, pace, fire, Nagy, right? And look where they are today, right? The same moves are being made. What, it's going to be different now with Lazor calling plays? No, this is just a small fix to a giant gaping issue. Nothing of substance will come from this. Might win a few more games and be happy. They'll win 7 games instead of 5 or 8 games instead of 4. What's that going to do, though? They're still going to be stuck in mediocrity. Nothing's going to change. Justin Fields' development could be an issue. And what if the Bears win? Matt Nagy will still be coaching. And we know it's his fault. This is one of the worst eras that I've seen in Bears history. The fact that it's week 4 and we're giving up on the season already is unheard of to me. Everybody's giving up on this season. I am. Other media is. Fans, players, coaches, everybody. Everybody all around has already thrown in the towel on this season. That's the attitude you want? That's the attitude you want to project to everybody? So be it. There better be accountability then. The fact that Nick Foles is being thought of as some replacement. Oh, maybe we'll put him in. When will you realize it's not them, it's you? Can't even believe that was floated as a possibility. Like he's just disregarding what's happened. At some point, it falls on you. I go on dates with 10 different women, and all of them don't work for the same reason. I have to look at myself in the mirror and say, you know what? Maybe it's a me problem, not a them problem. Same thing. How many quarterbacks has he gone through here? When is he finally going to say, you know what? Maybe it's a me problem, not a their problem. Talk about a frustrating team and a frustrating season already. I don't know what's going to happen this Sunday. My hope is that the Bears do pull it off. It's going to be a close game, and the defense will dominate. I do hope the reports are true, though. If Matt Nagy can't win, his ass should be out the door. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Mike Harmon comes up next, so stay tuned. Sports Talk Chicago. Here with John Zaglul, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's a host on Fox Sports Radio, the founder of SwollenDome.com, and the host of the I Want Your Flex podcast. Please welcome Mike Harmon to the program. Mike, it's great to have you on. How are you?
My guy, it has been a week of weeks, lots of texts and phone calls and rants. I've taken over the show with Jason Smith on numerous occasions. As soon as he opens that door and says the word Bears, I'm off and going. So, and then all of a sudden the producer's yelling, commercial break, you blown through the break, and all of those things. So I'm getting slapped on the wrists for screwing up the clock, but it's good to be here. It's been an eventful week. And obviously for you guys back in Chicago, no shortage of topics, and especially you guys baseball finishing, Cubs go off into the good night, the next era of renovation begins on Wrigley Field, right? The trucks are already there, the bags of concrete, I'm sure. The White Sox into the playoffs, and then all Bears all the time.
What was your reaction to whatever happened on Sunday?
Well, watching it live, I was out here. They've opened a Geno's East right near my studios in beautiful Sherman Oaks, California. All the Chicago stuff on the walls, it was like home. It was like walking into home and going through a portal. But we're sitting there and tables are loaded up, start watching the game. It's like, all right. And I got quiet. People I was with, everybody looking around, they're looking at me going, you going to be okay? It's like, it's early. And then it wasn't early. And then it got worse. And the cursing began off to the sides. Some folks paid their checks at halftime and left. They couldn't take it anymore. But a fun experience to be around Bears fans and to know that I wasn't alone in what I was seeing, right? Because you like to think, all right, you're in your own little bubble and maybe you're seeing something that's not quite there. But when everybody else is getting uncomfortable, shifting in their seats, maybe not audibly giving you the clues as to what's going on, but recognizing, all right, it's all gone to hell as a group. I mean, it was a nice cathartic experience, and I was glad I had a sport group.
How do you evaluate Fields' performance?
His performance? You're too young for that. That's Tommy Lasorda after Dave Kingman hit three monster bombs against the Dodgers. And then he went on a profanity-laced tirade about it. It's really good audio. And maybe you can lace it in here because that was kind of how I felt. I've been consistent with this all along, and I can run two thoughts concurrently, that as a coach, Nagy's overmatched in play calling and his scheme that he's overmatched. And certainly what he did to layer it over the top for Justin Fields, we can all agree that didn't work. Okay. And every expert, every lineman that's ever played in this game, only Cruz, who should be a Hall of Famer. That's it. I continue that speech here. Everybody's pointing out where there were gaps in assignments and execution, whatever. So I don't know that he's given a fair chance, but he also did not look like he was ready for the moment either. I can hold those two things concurrent in that while Nagy may not be everything I want. And look, playoffs 2 out of 3 years. And I saw all the apologies everybody made to Mitch Trubisky all week. Feel like I was one of few guys that actually had Mitchell's back all these years. I'm the guy, the patron saint of wayward quarterbacks. Josh Allen before anybody cared. Lamar Jackson before anybody cared. I still stand for Jared Goff a little bit. Trubisky and well, now I'll probably have to add Justin Fields to this at some point. But with Andy Dalton, while he's not spectacular, right, but he's claiming he is, you know, he's a guy that will adapt and adjust as he has. And so holding Fields back, I've never been one that you're beholden to put a guy on the field until he's ready. I understand the running clock and how cheap quarterbacks are in the first contract. But if he's not ready, he's not ready. And if all the other teams that drafted quarterbacks this year had done the same, where you already had a veteran that you trusted, I would have thought they'd all do the same thing, right? In Jacksonville, they got rid of Gardner Minshew because they didn't want any problems. Fine. In New England, Cam Newton wasn't their guy. They decided to go with him, with Mac Jones. And then obviously with the Jets, they have Zach Wilson and a bunch of guys nobody's ever heard of, right? James Morgan and whatever else. They didn't have an incumbent to say, all right, we don't have to give the guy the keys to the car. The Bears, they had two. They already had one. They signed another one. And then you're going to say, all right, well, just because we drafted this guy, he's got to be out there. And we can all agree that Justin's got a tremendous skill set, but he's got to get the rest of that up to speed and be given a functional offense. So, yeah, I put him in that C minus for the things that you could see where the game was too big. But, you know, obviously it's a big incomplete because of what Nagy did to him.
Is Matt Nagy on the hot seat to you?
Should be. Now, there's been a lot of speculation, and I know you're a young journalism, you know, go-getter. You've been trying to research and ferret this stuff out. Notice some of the terms of contracts were removed from biographies of both he and Ryan Pace. So we don't know what the end dates are anymore. Have they been extended, but not with a PR onslaught to it? Now there's some rumblings as we get to midweek that a loss to the Lions and Dan Campbell would mean the end of Matt Nagy's job. I would caution anybody to, I mean, I know they're favorites in the game or whatever else. This Detroit team fights. They have, may not be great, but they had Baltimore on the ropes. And but for Super Toe, I don't know if you remember that toe from, or that toy from when you were a kid. You know, you may be a little young for this, but basically it was a little deal, a little plastic dude. You put the football down, you slammed him on the head as hard as you could and see if you can get the ball to fly. That's what Justin Tucker was on that play. Just incredible stuff. Otherwise, that's a Detroit win, and we're looking at this world a whole other way this year and certainly this week. But is he on the hot seat? I would say he has to. And I think he's a coordinator, just to be blunt about it. And that's not to demean skill set overall. Some guys are better coordinators. Wade Phillips, Lovie Smith, look what he's doing in Houston, right? There's guys that can be head coaches and can succeed to a degree. But then you got to go from A to B and then B to C. And I don't think Matt Nagy's a B to C guy.
Mike Harmon here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mike, are you sure he's even a coordinator, though? I mean, the play calling that we've seen, I'm sorry, it's been atrocious. And that's been throughout many different quarterbacks and different iterations over his time here. Is he even a coordinator?
Well, I may have given him more credit than he deserved. I mean, it's awful easy, and this is the hard part in this game, right? You get promoted because you do things that are – you get some credit for stuff you shouldn't, and you get some blame for stuff you shouldn't, and look where you came from. You had some of the best skill positions in this game, right, from your quarterback to your tight end to the cheetah running downfield. Three of the best guys going. So that's going to make you look pretty good, right? And you get talked up by, you know, when they start doing background checks, whatever – if you check the boxes, you're going to get a shot. And the Bears got caught into the get Mahomes. And now you're seeing where we're at in that, you know, and perhaps it's the step back before you step forward thing. perhaps it's just the personnel and what Ryan Pace has done. Because I go back to, and I give Nagy credit for this and how much was improvised. I think the world may never know. Bill Lazor calling the plays, whatever. But go back to the last six games of last season, right? That offense was completely different. Had Mitchell part one. Then you had the disaster, the abject failure that was the insertion of Nick Foles. And then when they came back, they scored 30 points a game to end the season, right? David Montgomery suddenly had room to operate. Mitchell's on the move, right? Because we all know, like, you watch enough football, you talk to enough guys that have played the game, and that's where I'm lucky and blessed where I'm at Fox Sports Radio, where I can grab guys and get guys in the Rolodex and be like, what am I watching here? And to a man, like going back to 7-on-7 football, the throws you see Mahomes and Dak and Trubisky even last year, everybody can make that throw, right? That on the move, rolling to your right, you're going to be fairly accurate, right? Now it's just a matter of, do you have containment? And that's where I think the grocery shopping has been less than stellar. Also doesn't help that your defense is on the field for 45 minutes. Eddie Goldman hasn't been able to play. So all of the things you'd like to do defensively, you're kind of trying to pull a rabbit out of your hat while you're doing it. But offensively, you've got a bad offensive line. We all knew that coming into the season. That's not surprising anybody. And as much as you may like Allen Robinson or have wishing, wanting, hoping for both Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney, right now they're Jags in the Mike Mayock terminology. They're just guys. And we've had it for now almost, what, a year and a quarter, where Matt Nagy's apologized every week for not using Cole Kmet more. It's like at some point, you either target him or you don't. I mean, he had a couple times where he got field space during Sunday's game, right, where he had opportunities or thought he did and didn't see a look.
I don't get the no accountability, because you made a great point. Matt Nagy's apologizing every week for something, whether it be a bad play call, whether it be Fields not doing well, whether it be Cole Kmet not getting any targets. When are we going to start demanding accountability from Matt Nagy and from the Bears versus just hearing these apologies and then going through it every week and seeing the same results?
Well, the only accountability is to fire him, right? What else are you going to do? I mean, I don't think you can dock the guy's pay for bad play calls or misuse of a player. That would be an interesting new wrinkle to contracts, right? I mean, that's really the only thing. Because even in his press conferences midweek, right, it's the non-committal to being the play caller. That would tell me that Bill Lazor's calling plays on Sunday. Because otherwise you'd say, I'm still captain of this ship and I think I know what works. So I think by not saying it, he said it. So we'll see, you know, coming up on Sunday, how much more of a change you have to your offensive game plan and how much you do go and try to utilize the skills and why you drafted Justin Fields. It wasn't just a, my God, he fell into our lap. I mean, there, once you had him, you've had 4 months to figure out how to properly groom. It's a dangerous word, I know, but to groom him to be your starter, to be the guy that takes this team over. And you know what your personnel is, right? And that's the larger thing that, you know, for Bears fans, for Chicago pundits, and us nationally kind of dialing back in, as much as I communicate with people back in the city, it's also recognizing who you are, right? It's rule number one in your life, right? When you're looking in the mirror, be truthful to yourself. And I think the Bears need to do that as well. That week to week, they're not going to be overpowering team, right? On the all 53, defense is going to hold its own, right? As long as Khalil Mack, and once you get Goldman back and clean up some of the mess and crossing route problems we've had in the secondary, guys running into each other. See on radio, you know, that just didn't translate as I really had the exasperated sigh there thinking of the Jamar Chase play is the one that – I'm still having nightmares about it, John, 2 weeks later.
Oh, my goodness. Who's starting that quarterback?
Yeah, where do you go from there, buddy? Yeah.
Who do you think starting that quarterback, Mike?
It'll be Fields, I think.
Really? You don't think Dalton's going to play? Or I know Nagy mentioned Poles, too.
Yeah, that's kind of, I think, we're grasping at straws. I think I would almost see Foles trotting out on the field as a white flag. to your job. I don't think you can go back because we all watched it, right? We all watched it last year. And the fact that he's still on the roster remains an enigma to me. Like, that's the one question I wish folks would try to get in at every press availability. How is he still here? Because all it does is muddy everything up. Because if he was your guy, he should have been playing and Andy Dalton should have never been signed. Right? Otherwise, your number three guy should be some sixth or seventh round undrafted free agent guy that you like. He's got a cannon for an arm, but something else is missing, or he runs a game well and it's the arm strength that's missing. It should be that incomplete package, but enough intangibles that in a pinch we could have him in. Because as of now, I mean, deactivating a guy, I mean, there's desperation in quarterback rooms all over the place. Take the bucket of balls and move on. You got two guys. And if you have to go and go press the emergency button, Indianapolis currently has like seven guys under contract. And they're all, well, they're all just about the same, I think, when it's all said and done. But yeah, I would think, and people I've talked to thought that Dalton's injury was a 2 to 3 week, maybe even a full month injury, as quietly as this is all kind of circulated. So I would expect Fields out there. Would I be shocked if it was one of the other two guys? No. But again, the Nick Foles thing to me would be troubling on a whole other level.
What do you think happens on Sunday? Do they beat the Lions?
Can you force a mistake out of Jared Goff? Can you tackle DeAndre Swift? Right? Run game. In theory, Goldman's back, right? In theory, I haven't seen, you know, the full update as you and I speak to whether that's the case, but they thought he was close last week. And I mean, obviously that changes a whole dynamic. He would have come in really handy against that Cleveland running attack, and maybe you could have slowed things down to where it didn't start going downhill the same way, and where Justin Fields wasn't exposed and Matt Nagy wasn't. Well, he's already been exposed multiple times. He was exposed once again. Now it's just gratuitous, John. Now it's just gratuitous. But the idea being that you have, a team in Detroit, they're gonna fight you. But I think you can make one more play on Jared Goff because you don't have the world beaters, right? Cephas is one of your best wide receivers. You got Hockenson over the middle that you got to pay attention to. They don't have as many of those downfield threats as they did a year ago, right? All those guys are gone. They're in kind of rebuild mode, but they do play hard. And now it's just a question of, can you avoid some of the shenanigans, tomfoolery, ineptitude? See, I was trying to be nice with the terms. Then we get to ineptitude that we saw on display against Cleveland. I think it'll be buttoned up better. But every time I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt that they figured it out, because that was my thought last week. It's like, all right, Fields is in. They're going to utilize his strengths. Let's roll a pocket. Let's call a couple of run plays. No. He proved me wrong once again in a major, major way to do nothing to slow down. How about taking a couple shots downfield? Darnell Mooney was active. Throw the ball up. If it's a punt, it's a punt. Throw the ball up. Make something happen. So I'm hopeful, maybe listening to the media, maybe some of that will crack through that next layer up in the cranium there.
Where do you think they go the rest of the year? I mean, will Matt Nagy have a job? Will Justin Fields develop? Will this team even win 5 or 6 games? What do you think about the rest of their season?
You want to go through the rest of the schedule? We could do one of those things like when the schedule first comes out, win, loss. All right, 3 guys get hurt in week 3. Isn't that how we're supposed to play this game? No, I think when you're looking at total wins, yeah. I mean, 5, 6, maybe outside shot at a 7th. Sounds right. Because, again, go back to that week 1 game against the Rams. Played them well. I know the national narrative, and I know in Chicago perhaps it was, wow, they got blown out. But it's 3 or 4 plays. They moved the ball well. Was there greatness there? Right? I mean, whether it was on Dalton or Mooney, you know, when you go back to the interceptions, fine. But they moved the ball. They outgained them for much of the game, first downs, whatever. So it wasn't terrible. Was it exciting to watch it per I paid? No. But but they were in the game for a good chunk of it. And then you have the win over Cincinnati, tried to give it away and do all sorts of craziness. And then this week was just an absolute debacle. So I think we're just riding a roller coaster, and they're going to win a couple of games where you're going to scratch your head and say, how the hell did that happen? And it's going to be uneven. I do believe him that if Andy Dalton's healthy, Andy Dalton will be his quarterback as often, as long as he possibly can, unless Fields comes out and has some massive turnaround. And then he could say, see what we did in a week. Because if he can do that against Detroit, again, Detroit with a grain of salt, but if he can do that in a week and say, all right, we've got something functional, then maybe now that becomes the thrust. And it's great that this Arlington Heights thing came up as well. Nice Vegas misdirection. Because now you got the media fighting wars on like three fronts, right? You've got the idea of Arlington Heights, and you got the mayor involved, all of this stuff. You got Nagy and play calling, and you have the quarterback position. Like, there's three different fires that you're just deciding where you're putting your hose.
What do you think about that news about Arlington Heights? Would that be a good idea for the Bears?
I think we've watched it year in, year out. You've got a facility that, as much as, look, the first time I saw that toilet bowl they put over the top, driving up Lakeshore Drive when I'd come home, you know, cause I've lived outside of Chicago a while, but I mean, first half of my life, Southside kid, Ignatius and everything, as folks may know, Northwestern grad, I came home to visit, started driving up Lakeshore Drive. I hadn't seen it in person. I'd seen pictures, finally saw it in person. I had to pull over. I was so overcome with emotion that I was like, what did they do to my stadium? What did they do? And then you get in there and it's gorgeous. The problem is it's 61,500 seats, right? So there's not the largesse. The other problem is it's the Chicago Park District, which means you have a high school football game on a Friday, a couple of soccer games early on a Saturday, maybe a concert. Oh, and the Bears play at noon on Sunday. Here, good luck going through not just divots. Looks like landmines have gone off, and it's been the complaint of so many people through the years. It's not their facility. You need a home. Right out here in Los Angeles, Clippers just announced they're going to move into Inglewood, and they announced this multi-billion-dollar facility. And people are like, why? What? You know, you've got Staples. Like, it's not theirs. And likewise, the Bears, it's not theirs. It is for those dates, whatever. But it's time to, for financial purposes, certainly for the family and the ownership group. I mean, it's an $84 million. That's all we're hearing, that, you know, to get out of the lease. Tell me, off of your TV money, you cut that check tomorrow. Right. I mean, and then you fight with whomever over the rights to the name. I can't believe that legally the mayor has any right to preclude you from doing that. I mean, I know we have the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim out here, but I would love to see the legal arguments over trying to keep them from using a city name. I don't know that there's any trade. What are the trademark rules on a city name, John? You tell me, because every time I've ever seen something where it's, hey, we can't use the nickname. Anytime I've ever seen that, right? Go to video games, trading cards, whatever. It can still say San Francisco. It can still say Chicago. It just can't say whatever that team name is. So that's a legal battle and a fun one. But how do you expand on the lakefront otherwise? You can't, right? To get it to what it should be in 2021. And I know they only did that 20 years ago. And I know people are hand-wringing about taking a train to the suburbs and whatever else, but I think it's better for your squad. And I think their own facility would be a big selling point, even if you couldn't do it necessarily within the city limits.
More to come with Mike Harmon in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Mike Harmon, still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mike, two more questions before we finish you up. First off, The most memorable Sox game you've been to is what?
Game two of the 2005 series. I mean, that's about as good as it gets for, you know, kid walking around wearing his shy hat and his new socks. Or I didn't even plan this. Like, it's just you know, part of the apparel. And what you grab as you try to get ready here. You know, you see I'm eclectic. You got Ringo Starr, you got my kids, whatever else. Game two, my brothers, you know, got me out there. My firstborn was only a few weeks old from a plane. And comfort, right? I went to the game with my brothers. They went and hung out with relatives and whatever. And it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. I had to cancel all my fantasy football radio hits for the rest of the week because I had no voice. So that professionally, probably not the wisest to be screaming like an idiot, but you know, you're overcome with emotion, right? We all are. It's the thing that still ties us. I've been in this media side of things almost two decades now. And when there's still a big moment, even if it's not for my team, like it hits you. And when you're there in the moment, the Canerico home run, the Podsednik home run, like those moments just take you to another spot. And if you can share them with your friends and family, it's one of those things in this pandemic nonsense, right? Wherever you're at politically in vaccination, I don't care in the moment. It's still about getting your people together, whether it's on the phone, whether it's on Zoom, having those moments, cursing out your team like we all did with the Bears this week, right? Or being celebratory of, hey, you know what? Steve got a shot, right? With the White Sox for this year. And certainly in that moment, I mean, that was everything. Like, that's one of the finest nights of my life, without question.
Mike, before we finish up today, last question. What's the worst prognostication you've made on air?
Well, I mean, look, you start to – everybody knows that you've got to watch games in this job. And so there's been – what was that, 2005? That's a lot of years of, you know what, we're still a strong squad, which means I need to sit down and watch this game, right? I would – you know, trying to put a pin on one of them. Look, we've had some disasters. there's no question about it. There's so many because you make so many – predictions. Like you're young and you know you don't have the laundry list. If I actually took pages of everything I've gotten wrong in predictions, it would be sad and just horrible on a whole other level. I'm trying to think of one that would make for the best. Other than, you know, getting out of going to kids' birthday parties because you had to watch a game that was important, and you knew your team had no shot in hell of winning. You certainly have that. I would say, well, I'll go back to the Rose Bowl when Northwestern played USC. Right, I was all puffed up. I was just graduated. I'm thinking that they'd be able to hang around with old Keyshawn and company, and they didn't, and it was bad. I mean, that's pre-media, but still all these years later, because Keyshawn's out here, right, obviously in L.A. media, and every once in a while you run into him, and he remembers. and, you know, you have those kind of moments. But, yeah, they're, John, there's too many to count, man. I mean, I've lost a lot of hair off of the fact of things predicted to go wrong, too.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure to have you on. Best wishes, of course, moving forward with the radio program and the podcast, SwollenDome.com. And I'm sure we're going to catch up very soon again when the Bears make another big decision or have a crappy game. But I appreciate the time.
You know where to find me. We got 14 more games to go through. So I'll just keep the camera on and you can just pop in and watch me degenerate and become a degenerate just like everybody else.
Great talk there with Mike Harmon, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Mike Harmon himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTop, Tomorrow Entertainment, and BPON TV for helping out with today's show. Make sure you follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluo. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe. So long, everyone.
No! No! Never the turtle!